He's a good God. And He's been good to all of us. And when you really know Him, then you realize how really, really good He's been. The song is just reminiscent of what we've been studying. Sounds like Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. Paul in Ephesians 1, we're gonna read scripture, but while we're in the moment, Paul talked about all the spiritual blessings that God has given us. Paul says we have all the spiritual blessings that He chose us and He predestinated us and He accepted us to be loved. He redeemed us through His blood. He abounded us wisdom and knowledge. Made known to us the mystery of His will. Then He said we have obtained an inheritance that we will never lose. Then He said that we should be to the praise of His glory. Oh, that wasn't all. He said, then after all that, after we was baptized in the Holy Ghost, He sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. He's been a good God. Then Paul said in chapter 2, he said, when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, He quickened us. Made us alive under Him. Yeah. And then He said in verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourself, it's a gift of God. And it wasn't because of anything you've done. You have nothing to boast about. But if you want to boast, boast in Jesus. And then in chapter 3, Ephesians, Paul says, yes, for this cause. Yes. What cause, Paul? For calling me out of darkness. When I was on my way to hell. When I was drinking and cussing and acting a doggone fool. But God, who is rich in mercy.
Thank you, Jesus.
We ought to bow our hearts and thank God for being wonderful. Somebody want to give him a hand praise? We ought to. Amen. 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 God is good. All the time. Then we get to chapter 4 where we're at today in Ephesians.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We can stand. We won't stand long. We don't have that many verses to cover, but it's some good verses. We're going to look at verse number 7. And we're going to go to 12.
Thank you, Jesus.
Paul understood how wonderful God was.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Paul was a murderer. He had a mean streak that none of us could match. And God saved him. Lifted all that evil and hatred out of him. Set him on straight street. And God used him more than any other man in the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
In verse number 7, Paul's still talking here. He says, but to every one of us, but unto every one of us, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, he, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. Sound like what Margaret was singing about. And gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first unto the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the saying also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some. Somebody say that again, Pastor. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let me read one more. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. Precious Lord, thank you. You've been good to us. You blessed us this morning through song and prayer and scripture reading. Now, Father God, we ask that you would just join in this morning and bless us through the word of God being preached. Let it be preached with power and authority, Father God. Let someone's heart be changed. Let someone realize possibly the error of their ways. Let someone receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior today. Let someone walk out of here today saying, I feel like I heard personally from God. Not from the preacher, but from you. Father, we ask these things today. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. God's gifts of grace. God is the giver of gifts. And when we look at that word gifts and grace, really they are the same word. Grace is a gift, and all gifts are given in grace. If you ask somebody to buy you something and they buy it, that's not a gift. You tell somebody exactly what you want for Christmas, and then somebody says, did you get any gifts for Christmas? You didn't get a gift. You got what you asked for. A gift is something you don't ask for. God just blesses you with, because he's that kind of God. Look at where we've been, sort of while the music was playing. I sort of went over it. Paul laying a foundation in chapter 1, laying it real, real thick. A heavy dose of biblical doctrine. We talked about this morning in Sunday school in Mark 1. We've been on this on Wednesday night. And Paul, following Jesus Christ, came teaching. The Sunday service should be a service where the Word of God is taught.
Yes, amen.
Jesus went into the synagogue in Mark chapter 1, verse 22. Probably worth going there. Those that are here on Wednesday night probably are really, really familiar with it. But when we see Jesus calling his first disciples, he called Andrew and Simon, and then he called in verse 16, he called Simon and Andrew. Then he called James and John. Let's pick it up at 16. I just want to share something with you because it just fits. He said, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, verse 16 of Mark chapter 1, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Basically what Jesus said, these were some bad brothers that challenged the Sea of Galilee and would go out into these mean lakes and nothing more than a cardboard raft. These was fearless men. And if God's going to use any of us in the ministry, whether male or female, we have to be fearless. He called families, brothers and sisters. He called people that love one another. People that you can count on to do this ministry. Then in verse 17, he said, Jesus said unto them, come after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. I'm going to take that gift, that talent you have for fishing, and I'm going to turn it into a good thing. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. When God calls, there's a decision that you make. And they had to make a decision, and their decision was to follow him, and it cost something. Some folks got a Christianity that hasn't cost them nothing. And they're wondering why they're not being blessed, and they're not fulfilled, and they're so depressed, and they're unhappy. Christianity and walking with the Lord is costly. Look at verse 19. And when he had gone a little further, I believe he passed up a whole lot of boats. Every boat wasn't doing what God was looking for. Some boats just had the music going and they was just partying on and he just kept on going. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. Probably had a big catch, nets broke. Instead of just laying down, going to celebrate, they was fixing their nets. Watch this. And he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with hired servants and went after him. They had some valuable stuff. Zebedee, it seemed like Zebedee was a little wealthier than Simon and Andrew. He had servants. But watch this in verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath he entered into the synagogue and did what? Taught. He entered into the synagogue and taught. And that's as far as I want to go. It's good to hear good music, and I've been blessed this morning. It's good to have a great fellowship, and I haven't hugged all y'all, but I'm going to get around to some more after service. Amen. We're going to eat some snacks, and it's good to fellowship, but nothing is more important than you coming here and being taught the Word of God.
Amen.
Jesus was a teacher.
Yes, sir.
And he taught. And look what he taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine. And that word doctrine means his teaching. His teaching. His instruction. And that's what we're going to learn today, because Paul followed Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And Paul was a teacher.
Amen.
Look at verse number 7. In Ephesians chapter 4. It says, but unto every one of us is given grace. Given grace. God's unmerited favor. Not according to what we ask for, but according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And we're talking today about God's graces, gifts, of God's gifts of grace. So we see right away that God has given all of us gifts. Okay? Now, in verses 1, 2, and 3, we talked about how we were to, what? Walk worthy of the vocation where we've been called in lowliness and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing one another in love. Forbearing love. Then we talked about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see unity. Unity being preached here. Unity being taught. And then he says in verse 4, there is seven ones within the body of Christ. There's one body. One spirit. Even as you are called by one hope of your calling. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
Amen.
So Paul's talking about unity. Now where Paul's going today, he said, but even within all that unity, there is diversity of gifts. There's folks all with different gifts working within the unity of the body. Now, when I was coming up, there was a show out called Gilligan's Island. Now, many of us old timers, we remember it. And that, I believe that was in the 70s, maybe the early 70s, maybe the late 60s. I'm not exactly sure, but you had Gilligan. And Gilligan was always messing up. Every time they had an opportunity to leave the island, Gilligan. And that was his part. And this was a successful show. And then you had the skipper. Him and Gilligan always at odds. Then you had the professor, always trying to make a plan. Then you had the Howes, the millionaires, the Howes, and they was always worried about their money and getting back and running their business. Then you had Ginger, always worried about her long, flowing robes and her fingernails and hair. And then you had Marianne. Did I miss any of them? And they all had a part to make this show a success. And they all played their part. Paul is saying the same thing here. He says, but unto everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. God knows, because somebody said he's omniscient.
Yes.
Amen.
Know everything. He know what you want before you even ask for it. Before we get into the gifts, let's understand this. Everyone that's saved has a gift. Okay? Now, if we was all on that island, we would definitely have a Gilligan. Okay? We would have folks in within this church, and we had a little boat. We went on a cruise, and we got shipwrecked. We have folks working within their gifts. Margaret.
Amen.
We'll be worrying about how much it's going to cost to fix this boat. Teddy will be running around trying to find the toilet paper because it's all wet. Claire will be sitting in the corner singing, soon and very soon. We all have our operations. Now, Deacon Nels is a professor type. He'll be sitting there trying to figure things out. How are we going to get off this island? Now, I'm going to stop right there and leave folks alone. But y'all understand what made that show, and some of you young folks can pick your favorite show, but in a good show, a good sitcom, whatever, everybody has their role and they know how to play it.
Amen.
It's like a football team. Everybody had their part. Everybody had their assignment. And the team that won the Super Bowl played out their assignments the best. They played in unity. So we see these gifts. And I don't want to turn to the gift chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Let's look at some of these gifts. Because God has given us gifts. God has given us gifts. And this is a gift chapter. It's the gift chapter. Well, you can go to Romans 2. Romans, not chapter 2, but Romans talks about the gifts. Ephesians talks about the gifts. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But this is the gift. And Paul had received a letter that we were struggling with our gifts. And we can be in here struggling with our gifts because everybody's gifted.
Yes.
Amen.
We live in a day and age now where churches hire a pastor, they expect the pastor to have all the gifts.
Amen.
And to do everything. And we just sit on our gifts.
Amen.
And watch the pastor look like the clown at the circus juggling the plates, trying to do everything. Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, people of God, I would not have you ignorant. Okay? You know that you were Gentiles Somebody said, what's that mean? Remember I said last week there's only two kind of folks in the world. Jew or Gentiles. And Gentiles were monotheistic. Many gods. They had a lot of gods and they didn't care. They had a lot of gods. They had a god for everything. Go through Acts and watch Paul on his five missionary journeys. Go to these different places and they had gods. They had unknown gods. So he said, you Gentiles, we were carried away with these dumb idols, even as you were led. They was praying everything and didn't care. He said, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus a curse or anathema. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now listen, folks. These folks was speaking in languages that they really didn't understand. And Satan was using them to say that Jesus wasn't who he said he was. Because they didn't understand. And now, there are diversities of gifts. But the same Spirit. Again, within the unity, within the framework of the church, there are diversities of gifts. But who is the giver of the gifts? Jesus. The Holy Spirit. Same Spirit. Capital S. Not small s. And there are differences of administrations. But guess what? The same Lord. You know, am I the only one seeing this? You see, the Holy Spirit. Verse number 5. But the same Lord. Capital L. Okay? And there are diversities of operations. But it is the same God which worketh in all. So here's Paul promoting again unity within the body of believers. But it's all based on the Holy Spirit, the Lord, and God. Which is working in all. All of us are saved. And I'm just going through this fairly quick. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit all. So God didn't give you a gift to sit on. He didn't give you a gift to exercise in your closet. Even if you have a big walk-in closet. All right. For to one is given the Spirit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. That's that person who's got wisdom. Most theologians say that's the wisdom of the Old Testament. Okay? Remember, that's all they had for a long time, is the Old Testament. Some folks were really knowledgeable in the things of the Old Testament. And then, here's to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And the word of knowledge is the things that were to come. They were given a gift to write New Testament Scripture. Okay? By the same Spirit. See, you see the unity here. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, this one here is, this person here has the ability to preach salvation to lost souls. Okay? How are you saved? By faith. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. So this person has the understanding and the ability to go out into a lost world and preach faith. Preach to a lost and dying world that you need faith of God to receive salvation. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Okay?
Yes.
To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now people say, well, you know, They're healing today. They're healing today. They're healing today. God's still healing.
Yes, He is.
Hallelujah.
God's still healing. You here today? You left the hospital?
Yes.
You were healed.
Mm-hmm.
Is God still using man to do the healing? Get quiet in here.
Mm-hmm.
Turn to Acts. Turn to Acts 20. Acts 28. I'm going to read this. Somebody may pick it up while I'm reading this, but Acts 28. Y'all remember the story. We preached on this. Paul heading to Malta by mistake. Acts 28:1. And when they were escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast that hang on his hand, they said unto themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer whom thou, though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance is suffering not to live.
Yes.
And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him and changed their mind and said he was a god.
Amen.
Then y'all pay attention. Little God. And in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on and healed him.
Yes.
And when he was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. Now, why did I read that? I need to mark that. That's the last mention in the Bible of anybody being healed again. Okay? God still heals.
Yes.
The effective, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And when you're sick, James 5:14 says, call the elders.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let them know you're sick. And the prayers of the righteous may prompt God to heal. That's a different version of it. Left my spot in 1 Corinthians 12. So we're looking at these different gifts. The gift of healing. Then he says to another, the working of miracles. You still believe in miracles?
Yes.
The greatest miracle?
Yes.
Is salvation.
Amen.
The greatest miracle would be some young man, some young woman, lost in sin, received the Holy Spirit, a life-changing Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A supernatural act of God whereby they become a new creature.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's miraculous stuff.
Amen.
That's miraculous stuff. I don't know. Somebody said, well, you know, there was a car accident and the person flew out of the car, landed on a sack of hay and missed the telephone pole. Is that a miracle? Oh? Why not, Pastor? Because you can explain what happened. See, a miracle,
amen.
Biblical miracle, you can't explain. You can't explain it.
Amen.
Somebody try to explain the Red Sea part, then they walking across on dry land. Try to explain that. Somebody try to explain manna falling from the sky. We got gifts.
Yeah.
Look at verse 10. Another prophecy. Paul's talking about all these gifts. And there's different lists. This is just one I chose. What is prophecy? Declaring the word of God. Declaring the word of God clearly to where folks can understand it. Another, discerning of spirits. There's one I don't hear many people asking for. The gift of discernment. Some of us needed it years ago. We were making mistakes.
Yes.
We didn't have discernment. We just did what we wanted to do. Discernment is the God-given ability where we can make a decision on what's good and what's not good, or what's good and what's better. Some of us, even though we've been Christian, we haven't asked God for discernment. How do I get discernment? Spending time with God. Spending time with God's Word. You're becoming intimate with God's Word, and because you are intimate with God's Word, you will have discernment, because when those situations come up in your life, God's Word will speak through you.
Amen.
Now, the folks that made the "What Would Jesus Do" bracelet, maybe they had that in mind. But that's discernment, because God will speak to you. Should I get behind the wheel? Should I date this person? Should I get married to this person? How about this one? To another, diverse kinds of tongues. Now that's one. That's one for the ages. And in this list here, when God is talking about the Word of God being born out into all the world, when you start talking about diverse types of tongues, Paul said in 14 of Corinthians, "I wish all you had tongues, spoke tongues like me." Why did Paul say that? Because Paul was a great missionary. The gift of tongues was one way it was used was to go out into a lost world and speak to folks and not knowing their language, not being trained and able to speak and understand. And then the gospel was spread that way. Then you come back in and explain to the church what good things God is doing all over the world. That's tough. I was listening to a song this morning as I was preparing to preach, and they start singing in tongues. I know people who have gone to classes, you know, because, you know, you got to speak in tongues. And they have classes, and they take you to classes to learn how to speak. Let your tongue go. Just let your tongue go. But the gift of tongues was given, okay, by God's grace to folks who was going to go out and exercise that gift. And it is a powerful gift. I wish we was able to get in a van or a boat and go somewhere, and that person who has the gift of tongues would be able to operate in that. Maybe we're on that island, and maybe on that island, and you know, Teddy got that gift of administration, her and Margaret, and maybe that person who has that gift of tongues, and those barbarians are coming over there and start talking to us, and they got a fire going, and you know, and they over there mumbling and hollering at us, and I'm like, well, you know, the person who understands languages, well, you see what they want. And come back and tell us. And they come back and tell us they plan on having a barbecue. Diversity of gifts, all working within the body. This is what Paul is saying here. And look what he says in verse number 11. "But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severely as he will." God gives these great gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time for them. There was a place for them. There was a time for them. As we go back to Ephesians and look, we're going to see some different things going on here. And again, we start talking about the gifts of the Spirit. It's troubling. It's controversial. Some of the gifts have been abused. Some folks are still claiming that they can perform miracles, that they can heal people. You got healing services. And let me tell you something. That young lady was on life support all week, and I would have had a hard time talking to that family about, I believe in the gift of healing, and I have the power to heal. And I've walked those halls. I've been to hospice clinics and hospitals. I've taken my father to Cleveland Clinic. I've seen those cancer treatment centers. I've been over there with Chester, watching him take all those injections and different things. I've seen those folks over there. And when Paul healed and when Jesus healed, them places shut down. Those places shut down. There's folks sick now. There's folks sick now. Rajon Rondo blew a knee up. Make about $10 million a year in Boston for the Celtics. Believe me, if someone was walking around with the gift of healing, they'd have been in Boston. Let's be careful when we talk to people about healing. Chester biblically is not healed. Okay? I've talked to Chester. Don't say that, Chester. Unless Chester understands. When Jesus healed, they didn't have to go back to the doctor. Okay? They didn't have to still get treatments. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Let me show you what I mean. I like the word of God to speak. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John went together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And that word daily is in there because God is trying to let folks know that this man was laid there daily in the full view of everybody that was in that church or that synagogue. He was laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And he was laid there to ask alms, to beg for money of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask in alms, give me some money. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. The authority of God's man with the power and the gift of healing still in operation. And he gave heed unto them. He looked at them. He looked at them. And expecting to receive something of them. Some money. Folks that said they had to get the healing got plenty of money. They just gave them some money. And left them there. They said, silver gold, I have. Here you go, bro. No, that ain't how the story goes. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I not. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now that's some power. Now I got two funerals to go to tomorrow. I wouldn't dare say that. I don't think there's nobody in this country that can come to one of the funerals and touch the coffin. And tell people to back up, I'm getting ready to touch the coffin. Then Paul Bears and them people from L.E. Black Funeral Home run them out of there. Listen. Then Peter said, silver and gold, I have none. But such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now we're going to look at healing here. Okay? My neck is bothering me. I've been going to chiropractor. I got another appointment. And he couldn't heal me. Still bother me. And he took him by the right hand. It's a healing here, folks. And lifted him up. And immediately, his cancer left his body. His blood pressure was stabilized. His diabetes disappeared forever. Her issue of blood dried right up. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately, one of Mark's words, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the gate, beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. That is the true biblical gift of healing. The effective, fervent prayers of the righteous avail of much.
Amen.
And I'm not at all saying we ought not pray and pray hot and fervently, and then back up our prayers to God with a life of holiness and purity, and we can expect God to move. Why? Why? Because God is a loving God. And He's a kind God. And when he heard the cries of Mary and Lazarus' brother Martha, and he wept, the Bible said he wept. And he went and moved because of their tears. God is still healing. God is still performing miracles. I love to see one today. I know there's somebody here lost to need the Lord. I know somebody in here need a supernatural act of God to come upon them, their lives. Spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Let's look at some more. Back to Ephesians chapter 4. I know this is maybe a little heavy, doctrinal. Look at verse number 8. He said, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He's still talking about these gifts. God is still giving gifts. He is still giving gifts. And he said he ascended up on high and led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. What is he saying? He is quoting David out of Psalm 68. David understood the power of God. And we look at Psalm 68, verse 17. We see David, who was in the wilderness with plenty of folks trying to kill him. And look what David says. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive, and thou hast received gifts for men. Now, what Paul is saying here and what David is saying here, when a military leader went into a country and overtook that country, what they would do is they would parade those people back into their land with all their treasures, with all their gifts, and then they would distribute it to the people, to his own people. And what God is saying here through the person of Paul, Paul says when he descended and led captivity captive, he came and grabbed us out of the clutches of Satan and sin and took us with him up on high. I hope y'all have that. That's what God has done to the individual that is saved. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins, when we were lost, God came and snatched us out of the clutches of sin and Satan and made us a part of his team. And we're going up to yonder with him. We are going to see the King. We're going to see the King. We're going to see the King. Look at verse 11. I'm going to talk about these apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Some folks say, well, that's a fivefold ministry. Sure is. It is a fivefold ministry. He gave some apostles and some prophets and they had a job to do. And they did it. They did it. We've seen that in Ephesians, I believe it's 2:20. It says, here's what their job was. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The apostles and prophets laid the foundation.
Amen.
They laid the foundation. And it wasn't easy work. See, we think we could just go to the card shop and put apostle on a business card and we can call ourselves apostles. But listen, here's Paul in Galatians chapter 1. This is stuff that you need. We can call ourselves whatever we want to call ourselves. But look what Paul says in Galatians 1:1. Well, he had to confront this issue too, because they questioned his apostolic authority. Here's Paul, an apostle, not of men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who what? Raised him from the dead. Look at verse 12. For I neither received it of man. Paul didn't receive his apostolic commission from men. He received his commission from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you run into someone who called himself an apostle, who commissioned you? Well, I'm not that type of apostle. I'm not a commissioned apostle. So take your money and put it in a bank that's not accredited or commissioned. He said, for neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Those are the qualifications of apostle. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, has to commission you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know. This stuff is deep. No, it's not. Look at Paul, 1 Corinthians 4:9. I'm not going to be here long. Look at Paul 4:9 of 1 Corinthians. He says, about apostles.
Mm-hmm.
Hard work. He said, for I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as if it were appointed to death. How about that? Anybody run into that job? Anybody run into that? I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. The apostles were made spectacles. Not the ones today. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Sound like an apostle today? That don't sound like Benny Hinn, who in 1990 predicted that God would wipe out all homosexuality from the world, from the United States. In 1990, he predicted that. Well, that's a bad one, ain't it? I mean, that's worthy of a stone. An apostle could not, or a prophet could never be wrong. Now, if in 1990 he predicted that all homosexuals would be wiped out, what is going on? But if Benny Hinn came to Sandball Auditorium, it'd be packed with Baptist folk. Oh, yes, it would. You couldn't get a ticket. Listen. He gave some to be apostles and some prophets. And we start talking about a prophet. We start talking about a prophet. Well, a prophet prophesies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's what they did. And they could never be wrong. They could never be wrong. Then he says, and some evangelists. What's an evangelist? We like to throw that word around. An evangelist was somebody who took it on the road. Philip was an evangelist. Philip was an evangelist and he went out and preached the gospel. Preached the gospel. Everywhere he went, he preached the gospel. Then he says, some pastor teachers. Some pastor teachers. Now, every pastor should be a teacher. But every teacher ain't a pastor. You ought to strive to be a pastor teacher if you've been called. If you've been called. The word pastor be shepherd. Shepherd. And the pastor's job is to do what? Feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. And the sheep's, the sheep diet consists of what? The Word of God. The Word of God. Everything good for you ain't good. And we let some of our children, we give our children $50 and tell them to go into the grocery store, they'll come out with $50 worth of frozen pizzas. Ice cream and Klondikes. See, we have to feed the sheep. Now, goats eat anything. Sheep are grazers. Sheep don't have a problem sitting under the Word and hearing the Word of God because that's what sheep do. Okay? They chew on it, chew on the cud. Goats are browsers. They on the move all the time. They looking for something new and adventurous where sheep will just settle down and just graze. Just chew on a curb. Sheep are smart. Sheep run from trouble. Sheep are gregarious. Sheep like being around sheep. Okay? Sheep like being around sheep. Goats mix in with anybody. They can run with any crowd. Sheep can't run with any crowd. Sheep can't fight. They don't have sharp teeth. They don't have claws. I hope I'm describing some of us. The sheep part. In the sheep part. Listen. I'm up close. Let's look at Psalms 23 real quick. And I'm going to close with this. And I know people say, oh, you don't have to tell me you close. Yes, I do. Preacher got to know when to close. Preacher got to know when to close. Psalm 23. It'll be read all over the United States in the next few days. Everybody want to hear Psalms 23 at their funeral, you know. That was my loved one's favorite verse. Really? Was the Lord his shepherd? Listen. The job of a pastor. Job of an evangelist. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's making me to lie down in green pastures. He's going to feed us the best stuff. He didn't say off green. And he said green. That means rich. The very best. Ephesians might be the very best. One of the very best books of the Bible. He making me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. The pastor, teacher is going to protect the sheep. God's word is protection. It protects you against error. It protects you against the world and all the things that the world put at you when you have that word of God in you. He restored my soul. Shepherd. The Lord. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake. You know, we got a church today that the world is just mocks and laughs at. We're almost laughable. We go out, we leave church and we go out into the world and the world laughs at us. And it's not laughing at us because we live in righteous life, but we live in double lives. And then we go to church and we run all around, hollering and screaming and shouting and singing glory to the Lord. And then we leave the house of God. And then we leave our sanctification in our seats. The world, the church is not supposed to be mocked and ridiculed because of our bad behavior. It's going to be ridiculed and mocked. It's going to be ridiculed because of the Jesus they see in us. Amen. He said, Yo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They keep me on the right path. They hit me upside the head when I'm wrong. They guide me through trouble. I prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You're going to live a fearless life. Folks going to hate you. Jesus, they hated me. They're going to hate you. We spend a lot of time trying to get the world to like us. And the world's not going to like us. Never. They'll like you if you are like them. As thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of God forever. The unity of the Spirit, God's gifts should be at work in our lives and in our church. If we're going to be a great church, we can't sit on our gifts. We can't hire a pastor or a shepherd and say, do everything. God said in His Word, some of you ought to be teachers. Where are you at?